I love the story of a dad asking his little girl, "What do you want for Christmas?" She asked for a little brother, and it just so happened that on Christmas Eve, Mummy came home from hospital holding a new baby son. Next year, when her dad asked the little girl the same question, "What do you want for Christmas?" remembering what had happened the previous year, the little girl replied, "Well, Daddy, if it wouldn't be too uncomfortable for Mummy, I'd like a pony." What do you want for Christmas? It's a question that conjures up so many happy memories for me. As a little boy, my mum and dad would ask me that question, and from that moment on, I can remember getting so unbelievably excited about Christmas, decorating the tree, the magic of the lights going up in our little town, the feeling of overwhelming excitement on Christmas morning. Christmas was always such a fun time for me. But as I go on as a vicar, I know Christmas is just not like that for everyone. Have you come across the website ChristmasSantaClaus.com? There are all sorts of things on the site. One page is full of letters to Santa. There are tons of the sorts of letters that you and I would expect. Letters from kids telling Santa what they want for Christmas. Letters instructing Father Christmas to use the front door because, I quote, "we don't have a chimney." Children confessing to Santa that they haven't been good, but asking him to bring them presents anyway. But some of the letters are a great big reality check, like this one. "Dear Santa, please help a family who fled from abuse and are now in hiding." And then this one that really hit me. "Dear Santa, please send a message to my sister in heaven." Visit ChristmasSantaClaus.com and it's obvious what some people want for Christmas. They want solutions to broken relationships and child abuse and death and, well, all the messy situations of life. For many, Christmas is not a happy time at all. But this lunchtime, whatever your situation, I want to try and bring the joy back into Christmas for you. Not by ignoring those huge issues of life, not by forgetting reality, but by presenting to you the gift of Christmas. A gift that was given to us to deal with the huge sadnesses of life. Let me tell you about a gift that Father Christmas could never deliver. See, when I talk to people seriously about life, there are four big questions that I'm asked again and again and again, and Christmas answers them all. Here are the questions. How do you know God exists? What's the meaning of life? Why is the world in such a mess? And how can I know God? Christmas addresses those four big questions. Look again, if you will, at our reading, the second reading on the service order that you had there. John chapter 1. See, look at this first question. How do you know God exists? Look at John. John chapter 1, one part of the Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 1 and line 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Bertrand Russell, the atheist philosopher, was once asked what he would do if, when he died, he discovered that God was there after all. And he said he would ask God why he hadn't given more evidence for his existence. Bertrand Russell laid the blame at God's door. He said, "It's not my fault that I don't believe. If God is really God, if he's really that clever, that big, that awesome, why doesn't he reveal himself to me?" But you see, that is exactly what he did do that first Christmas. Oh, even before Christmas, there was plenty of evidence for the existence of God. But at that first Christmas time, God disclosed himself once and for all. God revealed himself in the most unmistakable way. See it again in line 1. John calls Jesus the Word. And then right at the bottom of the reading, in line 14, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Jesus came and lived among us. And who is this Jesus? Well, again, end of line 1, he is God. Line 2, he existed with the Father before the beginning of the world. That is the awesome claim about Jesus Christ. He's not just a man. He's not even an exceptional man. He's not just a good man or a holy man or a prophet or a guru. He is God. He is, line 3, the creator of the universe. That's the astonishing truth about Christmas. God, the creator of everything, of all this stuff around us, stepped into the world and onto his planet. Look at his life and his actions, and you see unmistakably God walking around planet Earth. That's how we know God exists. That's the answer to our first question. Well, we sang it in the first carol. He came down to earth from heaven, he who is God and Lord of all. What a gift. The certainty that God exists, that life on planet Earth is not the result of a freak cataclysmic explosion, that you are not just a blob of protoplasm wrapped around an appetite. Now let me ask you this Christmas, have you ever unwrapped the gift? Have you looked at the person of Jesus Christ, seriously considering his claims? And have you done that as an adult, not just in Sunday school, but now that you're an adult, have you ever looked into those things? Well, Christmas answers our first question, how do you know God exists? It answers our second question, what's the meaning of life? Look at line 4. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. At your office Christmas party, there's a very good chance that there will be one character who really makes the party rock. Someone who's good to be around. Someone who livens things up. Some of you are thinking of him already, aren't you? Someone will point to and say, now he's the life and soul of the party. We love having him around. Now here's a great surprise for you. That is exactly what John is saying about Jesus in line 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is the life and soul of the party. Jesus is the life and soul of life. Huge surprise for most people. Last week I heard someone say this, I believe that Jesus is God, I believe that Christianity is true, but I don't want to become a Christian until I've had some fun. Implication, Christianity is boring. Following Christ is going to ruin life and take all the enjoyment out of life. That's what many people think about Christianity. But listen to some other words of Jesus. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness, that you can enjoy life to the max. Because he is, line 1, the word, the logic of life. He is the central character of the universe. He is what life is all about. Cut him out and life simply doesn't work. Living life without Jesus is like watching a film without the main character in it. It just doesn't make sense. And you know, it is agony watching people rushing around trying to make sense of life, looking for the meaning of life in work and relationships and materialism, trying to make life work but never looking to the main character. Well, we'll sing it in our last carol, in our final carol in a moment. Life and life, light and life to all he brings. What a gift. What a gift, knowing what life is really all about, knowing where you and I fit into life. Again, let me ask you this Christmas, have you ever unwrapped that gift? Wouldn't it be great to be able to make sense of life on planet Earth? Well, to do so, you're bound to ask our third question. Why is the world in such a mess? Well, look at line 5, if you will. The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or better, has not overcome it. Yeah, there is darkness in the world. Relationships break down. Kids get abused. People die. We feel guilty. And the root cause of all the darkness in the world? We live in God's world, ignoring the God who made the world. Look at line 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yeah, we've chosen to live life without God, and that's why the world is so dark. That's why we're in the dark over all the big questions of life. Indeed, that is the darkness of our world. Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ, caused quite a stir earlier this year, of course. It's well documented now how the explicit nature of the bloody execution of Jesus Christ offended so many people. Now, whatever we made of the film, and whether we saw it or not, what Gibson showed us is this. He showed us what we will do when God comes into his world. God comes to us and we torture him and we murder him and we try to get him off the planet and out of our lives. But, line 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. We tried to put the light out by killing him on a cross, but Jesus rose from the dead. The darkness cannot extinguish the light. No, we can't get rid of him by our actions, or for that matter, by our unbelief. Our little boy Joshua is 21 months old now, and he's just learned to play peekaboo. Now, the rules of the game are normally quite simple. Someone hides, someone else tries to find them, and on being found, everyone shouts peekaboo. You've all played it, I'm sure, hopefully only as kids, but you've all played it. But Joshua's rules are just a little unconventional, to say the least. To begin with, Joshua doesn't hide. He stands in the middle of the room with his hands over his eyes, and I say, "Where's Joshua?" And he giggles. "Where's Joshua?" More laughter. "I can't see Joshua. Where's Joshua gone?" Uncontrollable whoops of laughter from Joshua in the middle of the room, and on it goes until he can stand it no longer, when he whips his hands away from his eyes, and I say, "Peekaboo," and he almost dies laughing. It's very funny. Well, it is for me anyway. And it works. It works because Joshua thinks that when he closes his eyes, I can't see him. Because he can't see me, I can't see him. What is not so funny is how we do the same with God. We think that if we close our eyes to his existence, he'll go away. But our beliefs cannot change reality. Believing that God is not there does not get rid of him if in fact he is there. And when he came to earth 2,000 years ago and we tried to get rid of him by executing him on a Roman cross, be sure that did not get rid of him, but rather it compounded our problem. Once we've taken all the wrapping off Christmas, the message of Christmas is clear. God does exist. He has come to us and we reject him. And you may say to me, "Wait a minute, reject Jesus? That's a bit strong. I haven't rejected Jesus. I wouldn't murder him. I'm not the violent type. And hey, I'm here at a carol service." You know, every year in December, the church that I used to go to as a boy always had a huge nativity scene at the front of the church. Big stable, lots of straw, a manger, a few life-sized and very realistic animals, a cow, a sheep or two. During the lead-up to Christmas, each week the nativity scene would be developed. Go to church the next week and now the shepherds would be in the stable. The following week, the wise men had appeared. The week after, the angels popped up. And on Christmas morning, there was the baby Jesus finally in the manger. And he would stay there for the 12 days of Christmas. And then? Well, then he'd be packed away for another 11 months. Now, that is remarkably symbolic of what we all do with Jesus. It's not murder, but then you see it doesn't have to be, does it? He's tucked out of sight. We don't need to murder him. We've got him in control, in a box, in the cupboard. But look, however we do it, there's no greater wickedness than rejecting the light of the world. However you and I look at it, God reveals himself, and we, and I include myself in this, we shut him out. And that is a huge problem for us, because that disqualifies me from being part of God's family. And one day I'm going to have to meet him. And if I'm not part of God's family, I will have no part in his inheritance when I die, and that means no part in his heaven. In fact, quite the opposite. I deserve his punishment, an eternal death penalty. Again, we sang it in the carol, just so you know these are not my thoughts. Free your children from this tyranny, from depths of hell your people save, was the cry. The world is a dark world because we reject the one true living God and we're part of the darkness. And that's why we have to ask our final question, and very briefly, fourthly, how can I know God? Well, look, this is great news. This is really wonderful news. Yes, we reject God, yet, line 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We've rejected God, rebelled against him. And you know, there are two ways to end a rebellion: to overthrow the rebels or to change the rebels. And astonishingly, God's plan is to change rebels. And God does that by overcoming our natural resistance to him. God does something to bring us back into a relationship with him. And I would guess that some of you will be experiencing that happening right now as you sit here. You will know that God is calling you back to be in a relationship with him. You will be saying, "Yeah, I have, to a certain extent, pushed God out. And I know that he's calling me back today." He's calling you back, giving you the right, line 12, to be a child of God. What a gift. What a gift. And he can give us that gift because after Jesus' birth, he went on to die on a cross. And when he died, he was taking the punishment that we deserved so that we might never have to take that punishment. That is how much God loves you and me, so that we can be welcomed back into the family of God. Line 12 again, to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We'll sing it in the last carol. I wonder if we can make a note of it as we sing. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. So here's the question as I close. Have you received Jesus? Have you taken the gift that gives you a relationship with God? Forgiveness for all your past mistakes, a guarantee of spending eternity with him when you die, and an understanding of what life is about now. All of that is free to you and me. What a gift. And this Christmas would be a great time to take the gift, wouldn't it? Well, my time is gone. I'd love to tell you more. I've only touched on the briefest of all those questions. But many of you, I know, need to get back to work. I can't go on anymore. But some of you will be saying, I do want to know more. I want to know how to take the gift. Well, I'm going to simply offer that you take a booklet from me, no charge at all. As you go out, just take one of these booklets, and it will tell you more about how you can take that gift that we've been thinking about and singing about this lunchtime.